السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Excuse me. So, alhamdulillah, we're on, this is the 43rd session of Sirah Nabawiyya, Sirah Khatam al-Nabiyyin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the last part, inshallah, of Isra wal-Mi'raj. Part number 7. So we're in part number 7 of Isra wal Mi'raj, and inshallah we're going to be concluding with the story of Isra wal Mi'raj tonight, inshallah. So we talked last week about some of the different things that happened. So before we go on, I just want to ask a few questions, inshallah. So we just a review, quick review, inshallah. The Prophet says when he went to the seventh heaven, which Prophet did he meet in the seventh heaven? Ibrahim alayhi salam. What was Ibrahim alayhi salam doing when he met him? So he was in the Kaaba of the heavens, the Baytul Ma'mur, and he was leaning against it. The Prophet went forward and he met Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he said to him that marhaban, like welcome to the righteous son. Remember, Ibrahim alayhi salam is the forefather of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is one of the main reasons why the Jews did not accept the Prophet, even though they knew of his signs, but they rejected the Prophet because they thought that the last and final messenger will come from the line of Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim, but instead it came from, the Prophet came from the line of Ismail. So all the prophets and messengers from Bani Israel came through Ibrahim, and then Ishaq alayhi salam, and then onwards Yaqub alayhi salam, and then his children. And that's why they're called Bani Israel, because Yaqub alayhi salam, his nickname was Israel, which means Abdullah, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that line came from Bani Israel, came from that line. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the only messenger and the final messenger that came from the line of Ismail alayhi salam. So we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went in Isra wal Mi'raj. He met his great-great-great-grandfather, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then he saw the Bayt al-Ma'mur. He told us that 70,000 angels do tawaf of this Bayt al-Ma'mur every day. And la ya'udun, they never get a chance to go back. Meaning once they're done with their tawaf, they never get a chance to go back. So this is one of the things, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity now, because of COVID is done, but for now, but people are, you know, alhamdulillah, have gone for Hajj many times, gone for Umrah, even Tawaf. You go for Umrah even once in your lifetime, you can do as many Tawaf as you want. And these angels get one chance in a lifetime, and that's it. That's the only chance they get. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in seventh heaven, he saw Sidratul Muntaha. And Sidratul Muntaha, we talked about this, was the lotus tree, the low tree, and that's where the basically the amur of the dunya, everything ends there. And none of the creation of Allah SWT have gone beyond, like the angels have never gone beyond Sidratul Muntaha. Also, we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ went to heaven. I think it was the session before that, where the Prophet ﷺ went into Jannah, and he observed the different ni'mas, the blessings of Jannah. And we know that from the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in the Quran, that in the Sidratul Muntaha is Jannatul Ma'wa. It's mentioned in the Quran that Jannah is next to or near Sidratul Muntaha. So the ulama say that Jannah itself is physically present in the seventh heaven. And I think I talked about this, I'm not sure, the fire, hellfire, one of the opinions is that it's actually below us. We're sitting on top of hellfire as we speak. It's within the earth crust, or within the center, the core of the earth. Allahu alam. But the Prophet ﷺ did go into Jannah and saw the different na'imaha, and he saw and observed, not going into hellfire, but he saw and observed the punishments of hellfire also in this night, Isra wal Mi'raj. Also another thing was the Prophet ﷺ was when he went beyond, he stopped, there was another station beyond Sidratul Muntaha. What was that station? He heard something. What did he hear? The pens were writing, Barakallahu Fik. Okay, so the Sarif al-Aklam, he was listening, he could hear the pens writing. So this is above the Sidrat al-Muntaha. Also above Sidrat al-Muntaha is the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we talked about the Hamalat al-Arsh, that there's four right now. On the Day of Judgment, there's going to be eight. Some ulama have mentioned that four doesn't mean the number four angels, but it means four rows of angels. It could mean 4,000 angels, different interpretations. Allahu alam, but it's four right now, and it's going to be eight on the Day of Judgment. Now, we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spoke with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And we talked about the two major opinions, the two opinions, that one opinion say the Prophet ﷺ saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other opinion, which is the majority opinion, that he did not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he saw a light, he saw a nur, a radiance, and that's the majority opinion. We also talked about how the Prophet ﷺ in this journey, and that's the pinnacle of this journey, that's the highest point of the journey, is meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I talk about how in Jannah, the highest point of Jannah will be meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the best thing we can even hope for, or the best thing, that there's nothing beyond that. There's nothing beyond the ni'mah of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, inshallah. So we talk about how the Prophet ﷺ was given three gifts. Anyone remember those three gifts, or mention even one of them?
Wasn't
Salah
one of them?
Salah was, okay, the five obligation, the obligation of the five daily salawat. What else? Surah Baqarah, Barakallahu Fik. So Surah Baqarah, the last two ayat were revealed. And the Prophet ﷺ told us in one of the hadith that someone who reads that before they sleep, kafata, it's enough for him, meaning it protects that person from any type of harm. So that's what we should continue, we should memorize it, and we should try to repeat that, inshallah. And the third one was a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was that? It was a promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins, even major sins, except for shirk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive everything except for shirk. Now this forgiving, what this means is that if some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he does whatever he, fa'alu lima yurid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever he wants. He can even forgive a person who comes on the Day of Judgment with full of sins, major sins, but he's a Muslim, he has iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take him straight to Jannah if he wishes, based on something that person did. But we know the ulama say that the people who do major sins, the ones who sin, or even if their minor sins, for example, outweigh their good deeds, they will go to Jahannam, even for a small period of time, whatever time, until they're purified from their sins and they're forgiven, basically, and then they will go to Jannah. So we talked about that, and if you guys remember the hadith, I mentioned this I think before, where the Prophet ﷺ tells us that one of the people on the Day of Judgment, one of the people will be brought who never experienced any type of pain or suffering or any hardship in this world. And the person was living the best of lives in this world and for many years. And this person will be brought forward, and the angel will be ordered to dip him in the hellfire for a split second. And that person will be dipped in hellfire and then taken out. And then that person will be asked, did you ever experience any type of goodness or any type of ni'mah, any type of blessing? And this person will forget all the years, the thousands of years of ni'mah and blessings of good health and whatever pleasures that person went through. And will say, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have never experienced any pleasure before. On the other hand, a person who lived years and years in suffering, in pain, in hardship, diseases, physical disability, for example, no food, nothing to eat, whatever the person, but that person has iman, that person will be brought forward and dipped in Jannah for a split second, and then will be asked that, have you ever experienced any type of hardship in your life? And this person will respond by saying, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have never experienced any type of hardship throughout my life. He'll forget all the years of hardship and suffering. So this is one of the things about this dunya. There's Sheikh Mukhtar, Muhammad Mukhtar Shinqiti, Hafidhullah, he's one of the shuyukh in Madinah Munawwara. He said in one of his bayans, he said that this hayat, this worldly life, al-hayat, imma an tubkika sa'atan li tudhika dahra. That either it makes you cry for a short while, and then it will make you laugh forever, or it will antudhika sa'atan, or it will make you laugh for a short while. You'll experience pleasure and the doing things that are disobedient to Allah SWT and enjoy this world, and it will tubkika dahra, and it will make you cry for eternity. So this is the thing about this dunya. We should not go after haram things. We should not go after anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that small time, that small pleasure, and then forego the everlasting bliss of Jannah. Now, we talked about the important, and I think I mentioned this last week, the as-salah mi'raj al-mu'min. That salah itself is a mi'raj of a mu'min, is the ascension of a Muslim. So every time we start salah, we're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're conversing directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, even though we can't hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking back, but when we read Surah Fatiha, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to us. By saying the kalam of Allah, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are conversing with Allah. And the ulama say that there is no better way to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through the Quran. The Quran, which is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, you know, and also this tells us, you know, the Prophet went to the seven heavens and talked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once. But we can do this, and the Prophet did this throughout his life, where he would converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salawat, in tahajjud, in all these prayers. So we should try to make a habit of that, inshallah. There's a saying of Dhunnun al-Misri rahimullah, one of the pious salaf, one of the pious predecessors. He says, وَمَا طَابَتِ الْحَيَا إِلَّا بِذِكْرِ. That this haya, this world, is not, there's no good in it except بِذِكْرِ, except with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا الْآخِرَةِ. And the akhirah, the hereafter, is not good. There's no good in it. There's no khair. There's no, there's nothing good in it. Illa bi afwi. Except if you're forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala al-jannah illa bi ru'yatihi. And Jannah, there's no good in Jannah except if you're able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very powerful statement, again, inshallah. Okay, so Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he met the Prophet ﷺ in the sixth heaven. And remember what happened when he met the Prophet ﷺ. After the Prophet ﷺ was starting to leave, Musa ﷺ, what did he do? He started crying. He started weeping. And when he was asked, why is he weeping? He said that this man has come after me, and this young man has come after me, and his ummah is greater than mine. So we talked about how this is a healthy competition. Musabaqa fil khairat. There's a healthy competition going on here between the prophets. And he saw that this prophet, the Muhammad, is, his ummah is greater than my ummah. So he started weeping because of this. Now that same Musa, and this proves that this is a healthy competition. It wasn't the type of, we talked about ghibta and hasad. So it wasn't, there's nothing near even hasad or anything like jealousy or anything like that. When the Prophet ﷺ came back down to the seventh heaven, he met Musa, some ulama say he met the Prophet, he met Musa ﷺ now in the seventh heaven. So he came down, he met the Musa ﷺ, and Musa ﷺ asked the Prophet ﷺ, what did you receive? Because he knew if the Prophet ﷺ is being called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's going to be gifted with something. So he asked Rasulullah ﷺ, what did you receive? What did you get? And the Prophet ﷺ says, 50 prayers. It wasn't 5 prayers, it was 50 prayers was given to the Prophet ﷺ in Isra wal Mi'raj. So Musa ﷺ, he says, that's too much. He says that I have experience with my people, and they had to do less than that. Some ulama say they had to do 2 prayers in a day, one in the morning and one in the evening, that's it. And he says that I have experience with the people, your ummah is weaker. And physically they're weaker. They're weaker, you know, in their bodies and everything. So they're not going to be able to handle it. Go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce it. So the Prophet ﷺ, he actually looks towards Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and he looks towards him for mashwara. He asked for basically asking him for advice. Now, one thing I want to touch upon, inshallah, is that we see Musa alayhi salam. The same Musa alayhi salam was crying because this person and this ummah the Prophet ﷺ's ummah is greater than his ummah, right? Now, what better way, if he saw that the Prophet ﷺ came down and the Prophet ﷺ said, I got 50 prayers. If Musa ﷺ, if it was me or one of us, we would say, okay, 50, you know, that's good. They're not going to pray and there'll be less numbers. They're not going to go to Jannah. My ummah will be greater than this ummah. They can do that as a competition, right? But Musa ﷺ was a well-wisher. He didn't have any hasad, he didn't have any jealousy, anything like that. He was being a well-wisher. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us in one of the hadith, ad-deen un-nasiha, that the deen is nasiha, is being a well-wisher for everyone. And in another, one thing is, Allama Nawawi rahimahullah, he writes about a story of Jarir ibn Abdullah. Jarir ibn Abdullah, one of the Sahaba, he says that he ordered his servant to go and buy a horse for three, and he gives him 300 dirhams. So his servant goes, he finds a horse in the market, and he brings it to Jarir radhiallahu anhu. He brings the owner and the horse to the Jarir radhiallahu anhu. He says, this is the horse I found for 300. Jarir radhiallahu anhu looks at the horse, and remember Jarir radhiallahu anhu, he was one of the princes, I believe from Yemen. So he sees this horse and he recognizes that this horse is not worth 300 dirhams. So he says to the owner, he said, would you sell this to me for 400? Now the owner says, yeah, why not? He agreed already for 300. But now this man is increasing and saying, will you give it to me for 400? So Jarir Radhan says he says to him, will you give it for 400? The man says, yes. Then Jarir Radhan says, will you give it to me for 500? He says, yeah, why not? Then he says 600, then 700, then he says 800. And this man is thinking that, okay, this guy is joking with me now. He's just playing with me. He doesn't want to buy it. He's just wasting my time. But Jarir Radhan says to him that this horse is actually worth 800 dirhams. And he said, I'll give you 800. And he gave it to him right then. And he took the horse. And he said to him that, I did bay'ah, I pledged allegiance to Rasulullah SAW. Bay'atu Rasulullah SAW ala iqam as-salah wa ita'i as-zakah wa nushi li kulli muslim. That I pledged to the Prophet SAW on three things. Iqam as-salah, praying the salawat. Ita'i as-zakah, paying my zakah. And wa nushi li kulli muslim, having well-wishing for all the Muslims. No matter, even if I'm going to lose out, but being a well-wisher to others. So he paid, he already agreed to 300, he actually paid him 800, 500 more, because it was worth that much. So this is the importance of well-wishing. Another kind of funny incident that happened, there's Imam Nawawi rahimah himself, one day, you know, we know the ulama of the past, they didn't have these huge mansions, they didn't have a lot of wealth and that kind of stuff. They were busy in their ibadah, they were busy seeking knowledge, teaching knowledge to others. So Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he's in his house, he's praying tahajjud in one of his rooms, and a robber comes to rob his house. And he chooses the wrong house. He comes into the house, he's looking around, he doesn't find one single thing that he can steal. There's nothing there to steal. But then he sees at the corner, there's an imamah. Imama, you know, those are pretty long and it's cloth. It's worth something, even though it's maybe a few dirhams. He takes the imama and he starts to leave. Now, when he's leaving, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah heard someone walking around in his house. He finishes prayer and he goes out. He sees this man stealing his imama. Now, that man sees Imam Nawawi rahimahullah behind him. He starts to run. And Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is running behind him, chasing after this man. Okay, and what do you think he's chasing him for? To beat him down, take his imam back? No. He was actually chasing him down, and he's saying to him that I have given you this as a gift, فَقُلْ قَبِلْتُ. So say that you have accepted it. And this is one of the fiqh of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah. He was Shafi, if I'm saying it correctly. I think he was Shafi in his madhab. And he basically, that when you give someone a gift, it can't be something that's taken without the person. Like, it has to be like a business triangle where you give it to them physically and the person accepts it. It can't be something you just take it and then, you know, it's yours, or you just give to them. So he was going running after him and saying to him, just say that you accepted it, just say you accept it. But the person couldn't hear him. He's trying to run for his life, that this man's after me. So you see, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, even a person who stole from him, he's trying to well wish for this person. Now, another thing is the importance of asking mashwara. So we see the Prophet ﷺ, he looked toward Jibreel ﷺ to seek his counsel. And the Prophet and Jibreel alayhi salam nodded, saying, yes, you should go back and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to for reducement. And this shows us the importance of mashwara. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُم. That's one ayah. There's another ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ, that he's ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that do mashwara with your sahaba. Do shura with them, counsel them, get their counsel. And remember, the Prophet ﷺ is the one receiving news from the heavens. He doesn't need anybody's counsel, but he's being ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek that counsel. And this is one thing very important for us as families, that with if you have children, if you're married, even if you're not married, with your parents and stuff, doing mashwara, asking for advice. Doing mashwara with each other, and the parents especially asking their children for mashwara. The mother, for example, asking their child, what do you want to eat today? What do you think we can eat tomorrow? That kind of stuff. Where do you want to go this weekend? Where do you want to go for vacation, for example? Whatever it is, you're asking the children for their mashwara, giving them that importance. This will bring about love in the family. It will increase the love between the family members, inshallah. So the Prophet ﷺ, from his sunnah, is istikhara from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing salatul istikhara, and that's something we can't talk about in detail right now, but salatul istikhara, seeking khair from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also istishara with the people, and istishara means doing mashwara, asking people their opinion, asking if they should do something or not. In one of the hadith, and this hadith is da'if, it's weak, so I want to mention that, but it's really by Imam Tabarani rahimahullah, that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا خَابَ مَنْ اسْتَشَارَ وَلَا نَدِمَ مَنْ اسْتَخَارَ. That the one who does istishara, the one who counsels and seeks counsel from others, that person will never fail. And the one who does istikhara will never have nidam, will never regret anything. Because they know whatever happens is khair. So that's one of the things we should try to understand. Another hadith, the Prophet says, istashir fa innal mustashir ma'an. That seek counsel from people, for verily the person who seeks counsel, that person will be helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal mustashar mu'taman. And the one who is asked counsel, this person is mu'taman, meaning is being trusted. It has to be trustworthy. Meaning that when someone comes to us, even if it's something that we don't want or something against us. Now, first of all, you don't have to give your opinion. If someone comes to you and it's something, you know, that might hurt you or something, you can just say, I'm sorry, I can't give you advice on this. That's one thing. But if you are giving advice, you have to give good advice, even if it's against yourself. You can't, you know, try to trick the person or that kind of stuff. وَحْدَرْ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّهُ قَائِدُ الْأَشْقِيَىٰ. And the Prophet ﷺ says that beware of the hawa, of the nafs, of the desires, for that is the qa'id, that is the leader of the ashqiyā, of those people who have shaqi, the ones who are the losers, the ones who are disgrace, those people who lose. Another thing, this is the saying of the Salaf, the ulama would say this, لا خير في صحبة لا تناسح فيها. That there is no khair, there's no good in sohba, in companionship, in friendship, where you're not advising each other. So when friends are amongst each other, you should always have that where you're trying to well wish for each other, trying to give each other good advice. We shouldn't be seeing, if we see our friend, our best friend, doing something that's detrimental to himself or herself, or someone who sees that they're doing something haram or against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just keeping silent. We should do amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. That's what our main duty is. So there's no khair in the sahba, does not have nusha or nasiha between each other. So the Prophet ﷺ, he goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks for a reducement of the prayers, and it is reduced by five. He comes back, Musa alayhi salam says, what happened? Rasulullah alayhi salam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reduced it to 45. He says, that's not enough. You need to go back and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce it more. He goes back, it's reduced to 40. Now, the ulama say it happened many times. It goes from one to another, it keeps on going down until it came to five prayers. Now, Musa alayhi salam asked the Prophet, what happened? He says it's been reduced to five. Musa Islam says, that's still not enough, that's too much. Your ummah, la tutiq. They will not be able to do it. So go back and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce it even more. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at that point, he said that I am ashamed. I don't want to go and ask, I can't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce it even more. So then a voice comes out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says basically that these five are worth 50. So we know one of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that any hasana that we do, the minimum you can get is 10 hasanat. If you do one hasana, the minimum reward you get is 10 hasana. So those five prayers that we're praying, the minimum is 50, it's worth 50. And that was the final verdict, that was the final saying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. So Rasulullah ﷺ comes down and descends down to one heaven at a time, 7, 6, 5, keeps on going down until he gets back to Masjid Aqsa. And according to the different opinions, either he brought he was riding Buraq back down and through the heavens, or he went and untied Buraq from where he had tied him, and he went back to Makkah Mukarramah. Now, excuse me. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he was going back, he goes back to his bed, and he falls asleep. Now, one of the things the ulama say about his bed, it was still warm from when he left, meaning that there was only a small amount of time that had passed. So that time when he was going from Makkah Mukarramah to Jerusalem, to Masjid Aqsa, that time, he was in this earthly world. But after that, he went to the heavens. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not constrained by time or space. These rules of time and space do not apply to the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created those things. So the time could have stopped, you could say. I mean, there was so many things that happened in the heavens, so many different meetings with the prophets, going to Jannah, seeing observing the punishments in hellfire, going to Siddat Muntaha. All these different things happened all in one night, but his bed is still warm. So we see that the Prophet ﷺ, he came back. And also this teaches us, you know, the speed of Buraq himself, itself, and also the speed that, you know, going in the heavens. Actually, there's a story of Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, where Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was thrown into the well. So, you know, when we see these movies and these cartoons out there where Superman and The Flash, and you have these different characters who go at the speed of lightning and they're so fast and, you know, whatnot, they have all these different stories about them. Now, Jibreel alayhi salam, he's in the seventh heaven, and Yusuf alayhi salam is on earth, and he's being thrown into the well by his brothers. Now, when he was thrown into the well, Jibreel alayhi salam is in the seventh heaven, and he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go and save Yusuf alayhi salam. He's being thrown into the well, so he does not land on the ground and maybe get injured, hit his head, maybe get, you know, he could have died. So Jibreel alayhi salam from the seventh heaven to the earth, going through the sixth, fifth, fourth, third, through the heavens, and we talked about the vastness of the heavens, came there, and before Yusuf alayhi salam could hit the ground, Jibreel alayhi salam had caught him and he put him down on the ground. That's how fast Jibreel alayhi salam is. That's the power of Jibreel alayhi salam. Now, Rasulullah salam, when he woke up, he was sitting next to the Kaaba, and one of the things is he started telling the people what happened. He started telling the Muslims what happened. The weak amongst the Muslims didn't know what to say. They were shocked at hearing something like this. Remember, at that time, they not even going to heavens, but going to Jerusalem in one night and coming back, going there and coming back in one night. That's unheard of. It's impossible. So they were just shocked at, you know, at what does this mean? And Abu Jahl, he realized, he saw the Prophet ﷺ in this state. He saw him sitting there, and he noticed that the Prophet was sitting there, and he's there. So he asked him. He said, "Why did something happen?" He says, "Yes." And Abu Jahl hears the story of going to Jerusalem and back in one night. And Abu Jahl says to Rasulullah ﷺ that if I go and gather the people, will you repeat this story? And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Yes." So Abu Jahl goes and calls everyone. And he says, come forth, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has something to say to you. And he actually calls the people, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them the story, and they start to mock. The mushrikeen start to mock the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of them start clapping loudly, like, what is this kind of story? What are you saying? Some of them are shocked, some are, you know, other, they're like, they didn't know what to say. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows what he saw, he knows what happened, and he's firm. The Muslims, the ones who were strong in faith, they heard this and they believed in the Prophet ﷺ. One thing they did was they went to Abu Jahl and his people, his cronies, they went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, and that's where he got the name Siddiq. So now Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu, they go to him and they say, do you know what your companion has said now? Do you know what your sahib has said now? And he says, what happened? He said that he claims that he went to Jerusalem and back in one night. Now, Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, he was an intelligent man. So he says to him that, in kana qala. So if he said this, faqad sadaq, that he has told the truth. Meaning that, remember in Surah Al-Hujurat, Mulana Sahil was talking about that a couple months ago, a few months ago, about the tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat, and one of the ayah, that if a person comes to you, I forgot the ayah, but if someone comes with you with a khabar, then you have to go and find out if that khabar is true or not. Okay, and right here, Abu Bakr Siddiq is hearing this from the kuffar, from the mushrikeen. So he says that, I'm going to go and confirm this from the Prophet ﷺ, but if he said it, I know he's saying the truth. And so he said that, and then he says, "Inni usaddiquhu fima huwa ab'ad min thalik." I believe the Prophet ﷺ in something that even greater than that, and that is usaddiquhu fi khabr as-sama. I believe that he gets news from the heavens. He gets the wahi and the Quran from the heavens. And you're talking about going to Jerusalem and back. This is nothing compared to what I believe in. So if he said it, it's true. It happened. When the Prophet ﷺ heard this, that Abu Bakr had said these words, he said, فَإِنَّهُ صَدِّيقٌ, that he is a Siddiq. That's where he got that nickname. Now, the kuffar, they went to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, okay, give us proof that you saw, that you went to Jerusalem. So we want you, they know that the Prophet ﷺ never visited Jerusalem. Remember early on, he was traveling with Abu Talib, and then he was sent back home. Because Bahira the monk. Now, the Prophet ﷺ is asked, describe Masjid Aqsa for us. So he starts to describe it, but we know the Prophet ﷺ, he's not there for sightseeing, for selfies, and so he wasn't really looking at the masjid in detail, and he didn't memorize, okay, it has this many doors, it has this many windows, and this color and that color. So he says, I started describing, and then the Prophet ﷺ got a little bit confused. He didn't know the description after that. So in that brief second that he delayed, the people started saying, see, what is he talking? He doesn't know what he's talking about, right? But right then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought forth Masjid Aqsa. Either it was physically brought forth, thousands of miles away, is brought forth as far as the house of Aqil ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, which was like near the Makkah and near the Kaaba. So it was brought at a distance, or it was an image of Jerusalem, of Masjid Aqsa, that the Prophet ﷺ saw, and then he was explaining it in detail to them. And even though he explained it to them in detail, they still said, no, he's making this up. So he said, give us some more proof. So the Prophet ﷺ says that one of the proofs I'll give you is that when I was coming back from Jerusalem, there was a caravan. And this caravan, it could have been maybe because of Burak, it could have been because Allah or whatever, but there was one camel that ran away, it strayed away from the rest, and the Prophet and the people were looking for this camel. So when they were looking for this camel, the Prophet ﷺ called out, because he saw the camel, he's with Burak, he's flying in the air, he saw the camel strayed away. So he calls out to them and says, your camel is in that area, or that area. He calls out to them. They didn't see where this came from, but they heard the voice and they found their camel. He says, that's proof number one. Another proof, he says, that there was another, he says that this caravan is led by a camel. The lead camel is like this color, like a certain color, and it has two sacks on it, on one side and another. One sack is black in color, the other is black and white. So it has these colors in complete detail. And he says that this caravan was about 3 days' journey from Mecca. He says the second caravan, there was another caravan where the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I was thirsty. So he went down and they had a sealed water container. The Prophet ﷺ opened the container, drank some of the water, and then he closed up the thing and he left it and he went. So now these are two proofs the Prophet ﷺ gave forth. After 3 days, when the caravan came into Mecca, they went and they saw that the camel was exactly the way the Prophet ﷺ described it. Then they went and asked the people, did you notice anything strange during this journey? And they said, yeah, there was one thing that one of our camels had strayed off. And we heard a voice from above telling us where to find our camel. And then we found it. And then the other caravan came in. And they said, yes, there was something strange in our journey. Someone opened up the seal of our water container and it was sealed. Someone drank from it and we don't know who it was. It was none of us. We asked each other and no one knew who it was. But someone drank from our water. So both of those proofs were correct. They still did not want to believe in the Prophet ﷺ. So what's the ayah from فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ Surah Mursalat. So I think Surah Mursalat. So what after what ayah or what hadith after this will they believe in? Meaning, you give them any proof, if they don't want to believe, they will not believe. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq inshallah to understand this. And this brings us to the end of the Isra wal Mi'raj. Inshallah, next we'll talk about the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ to the different qaba'il. And then we'll talk about the Bay'atul Aqaba. How the Ansar came and gave bay'ah, and then that led to the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ in the coming weeks, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.